with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, week two of the NFL preseason is in the books. Lots to get into with 1 week of preseason left to go. Roster cutdowns upon us here in the near future as we welcome you in to this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Hour two coming at you from coast to coast. Michael out there at his office in Jersey. Stormy Bonantoni here live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And we like to kick off hour two finding out what's on Michael's mind. So what's stuck in your head today, Michael? What's going on?
I can't help it, Stormy. I know we've been talking about it, but this whole decision behind Michael Penix not playing is so bizarre. You know, and take it from a competitive strategy standpoint, right? If Andy Reid is playing Patrick Mahomes, if Josh Allen played in the preseason, if Kyle Shanahan put Brock Purdy in the game without even any of the offensive line or his receivers like he did last night, if Sean McVay's playing guys and you're not, then what the heck's going on? Like, Michael Penix was played a lot in college. I get that. But Michael Penix hasn't played a lot in the NFL. And just that one preseason game isn't going to really satisfy him, especially considering he's your backup quarterback. You know, he's going to have a short week to get ready. And then he's got to go into a game if he's the starter. But he may have to go into the game in the middle of the second quarter with no background, with no feel, right? What brings confidence? Confidence comes from experience. Confidence comes from, I got this. You know, when you first did your first show as a broadcaster, you were nervous, you were anxious, you had a lot of reps, but you were nervous. But now when you come to work, you may still have nervousness to get ready, but you have confidence you know what you're doing. It's the same thing for any player or athlete. And for me, I find it hard to understand the rationale behind this. You know, they need this guy to get ready. And so if you're going to cut Taylor Heinicke, that's fine. Then why give him all the reps? It's a little bit like, look at Trey Lance. He needs as many reps as he could get. And Dallas has given them to him. So this is what's on the logic behind this. I can't figure out why they drafted him, and I can't figure out why they won't play him.
Yeah. I think that's a great comparison too, Michael, because it's true. Like, that confidence and comfort comes with reps and it comes with time. And for Michael Penix Jr., he's somebody that needs those NFL reps. Absolutely. Especially when you consider who the starting quarterback is for the Atlanta Falcons. Love Kirk Cousins, think he's great, but he's coming off a very serious injury and he's not a young, spry guy necessarily either. Plus, as we talk about needing to see more, this is Taylor Heinicke's seventh year in the NFL. We need to see more from Taylor Heinicke. Don't you want to get this kid more reps?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't need to see more Taylor Heinicke. I don't need to see more Bailey Zappi. I need to see more of these young guys. And here's what I think they're afraid of. They're afraid if they play bad, it'll get off to a bad start. They're afraid that there'll be a downward spiral, right? There's not enough confidence in the organization, right? If things go bad, like Russell Wilson didn't play well the other night, but all of it wasn't his fault, right? It all wasn't on him. He's going to take the blame for it, but it wasn't. His right tackle was horrible. Mm-hmm. The protection was bad. They couldn't run the ball, all those things. But to me, it's almost like what are they saving Michael Penix for? Because Michael Penix may not play for 3 years. There's a good chance Michael Penix may not play for 3 years. And if Michael Penix plays before that, they wasted $100 million. See, we're back to the old, how this made no sense at all.
Yeah, you're taking us back to the draft and how much we were just yelling at the television screen about the decision. And hey, at least credit Atlanta for going out and getting Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons and bolstering that defense a little bit late in the free agent process here, But this was such a strange decision when it was made. And at the time, you remember, Mike, I said I felt bad for Michael Penix Jr. because he, to me, was one of the more NFL-ready guys among that group, and he's somebody who is going to have to sit. There's a lot of situations where I think it's good to have the opportunity to sit back and learn and watch and get acclimated. I loved, prior to the injury, J.J. McCarthy getting to sit for a while behind Sam Darnold and learn before, hey, maybe he comes in later on in the season if things aren't going well and gets some meaningful NFL reps before he can take a positive step forward in year two as the full-time starter, a guy that they believe in. But Michael Penix was somebody I thought could do that sooner rather than later, yet he gets drafted to a situation where he might not have a chance unless there's a significant an injury. So yeah, lots of questions. It's very, very strange choice here.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense from a team building. But let's continue down this Falcon conversation, Mitchie Moss's team.
Yes.
Here. And so, you know, look, the signing of the trade for Judon, fine. You give up a third round pick, the guy doesn't have another year on his contract. What are we doing here? You know? What are we doing with that one, right? I mean, you're going to have to do something. And then you sign Justin Simmons, who's been out in the open market, and pay him almost $8 million. You've got Jesse Bates and Ronnie Grant. You planned it, you paid it safe. You drafted him in the second round. You paid Bates. So now, you know, Grant's obviously going to go to the bench. But to me, what about another front seven guy? You let Calais Campbell go for basically nothing to Miami for a $3.5 million contract, and you won't pay him? Mm. Like, who's making these decisions?
We joked about this last week, and I will challenge our audience now. On the top of your head, say it out loud if you're driving in your car right now. Who's another pass rusher for the Atlanta Falcons? Just saying. But let's keep this trend of rookie talk going here, because Bo Nix is somebody who has certainly shined in the Broncos' early preseason games here. He was a guy that is now Sean Payton's guy, which has a lot of people excited that he has a quarterback that he believes in. And even though he hasn't technically announced Bo Nix as his starter, we all know what's going to happen here. And in a tease for the Scoop City podcast with Diana Rossini and Chase Daniels, he was glowing, gushing, talking about his young quarterback and how soon he knew Bo Nix was going to be their pick. Watch this.
When did you know it was the guy that you wanted no matter what?
The individual workout.
Yep.
After the meeting, we went onto the field, and about throw 16, I just said to George, this is the guy.
So you knew it, and he didn't
matter. I'd already seen all the tape. Throw
16. And you were willing to trade up.
Why 16?
I saw enough.
You saw enough. 16 was enough for you to go.
Okay,
so here are the things that you got to tune out. You know, he doesn't have the his arm strength's outstanding. He's 6'2 and a half, 220 pounds. Third down, he's first in the class. Red zone, first in the class. 2 minute and a half, first in the class. 2 minute crunch time,
wow,
first in the class. I'd say the single most important trait, besides his processing, which is always hard to really measure,
yeah,
I'd say, is his ability to throw from a dirty pocket. You know, there's just a little bit of penetration, and he can kind of take that quick step,
yep,
and be right on point.
16 throws into that individual workout, Michael. Sean Payton said he's the one.
But he did all the homework before that, right? So this is called scouting inside out, not outside in. And so he did all the homework before. He knows what he's looking for in his system. He knows what's important. And so he saw it in Bo Nix. And then on that 16th throw, it just reaffirmed itself. But what he said there is very clear. You know, Bo Nix was very good. I thought he was the second best quarterback at making plays on the move. He did it last night against Green Bay. Move out of the pocket, keep eye level up, throw it down the field accurately. One time he got caught with his eye too far down the field past the line of scrimmage. But look, you know, all these naysayers that said he's not worth the first round pick, well, they're not running an offense. They're not calling an offense. They're not developing a quarterback. Sean knows what he wants. I mean, look, he took Tony Romo from Eastern Illinois, who was a college free agent, say, well, he's a free agent. No, he had a specific skill set that Sean identified that got translated. The fact that he was a free agent is a mistake. The fact that Sean developed him is the point here. And that's where Bo Nix is so good. And I think, to me, like we said on draft day, look, there were going to be, we said bet over the 4.5 number. That came out to be true. We thought Denver was going to pick Bo Nix. That came out to be true. We said Denver's going to start Bo Nix. That came out to be true. And I think he's going to have a good rookie season. And the fact that the Raiders, with no quarterback, are 6.5 to the win total, and the Broncos are 5.5, is mind-blowing to me. Now, look, I know the Raiders are good on defense in their front. I know that. But to me, I just don't see it. I really don't. I don't understand it. I think that Sean will make him a very good player.
And we talked about this with Thomas Gable, sportsbook director of the Borgata in Atlantic City earlier in Hour 1. Bo Nix opened as a 28-1 shot in the Offensive Player of the Year market, steadily bet down. We saw 22-1, 18-1, 11-1 now at most books, continues to deliver. That win against the Packers this weekend, they win in cover as a 6.5-point favorite, 27-2. The final, he was 8-9 passing for 80 yards, a touchdown, nearly two, stepped over the line of scrimmage on another would-be touchdown in the red zone, but showed the athleticism. Nobody's got more collegiate experience than Bo Nix. Steps into a system in a coach that believes in him. I think it's going to be a very good situation. The win total is what it is, Michael. I think from the combo of this overall, you know, talent, rookie quarterback, and the schedule, eighth hardest in the NFL this year. So will they be able to overcome some tough competition? We also just saw it come through on the timeline here, Michael. We do have it official. The Commanders have named Jaden Daniels their starting quarterback for the regular season. Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody. I mean, where that got me, you know, look, when I look at my sports betting thing, when you go to where you get all the, you know, all the information for the week one games, I think it's pretty clear. There's really only two jobs right now that remain to be seen on who's going to be the starting quarterback in week one. Pittsburgh still has a TBD there. And New England still has a TBD there. Other than that, everybody, we know who's going to be the starters. New England, you know, with Mayo said, he's, you know, they're still going. I can't see him playing Drake May at all. Yeah. Although Brissett threw a bad interception the other day, but he was moving the team. And we know that, you know, Pittsburgh is in a little bit of a mess right now.
I do think that Patriots conversation should be had a little bit, considering the way Jacoby Brissett has looked to this point. And Mayo's comments about could this open the door? How if Drake May looks good, which is completely opposite of what we had heard early on in this process, where he said, no, we want to slow play this. We want to give Drake May the opportunity to develop. He has a lot of things that we need to fix and dial in. And he didn't have as much experience in college football as a lot of these other guys were. So even him just saying that, hey, you know, we could see what could happen is very different from what he's been telling us for the last 3 or 4 months. Okay, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, it's a lot of people that need some advice, need a little bit of a talking to, some quarterback competitions worth discussing as well. Step into Michael's office after the quick break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, it's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk, winger. Step into my office.
And step into my office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now. Gardner Minshew, the 11:15 Pacific, 2:15 Eastern appointment is ready to go. So, Michael, Gardner Minshew, he's on his third team in 3 years. He was officially named by head coach Antonio Pierce as the starter in 2024 for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, how did he finish in his preseason game that cemented this opportunity? 10 of 21 passing, 95 yards, under 50% completions, less than 5 yards per attempt, had 5 drives resulting in just 3 points, and the tape was just as bad as the numbers. Now, AP didn't sound the most optimistic when he was reacting to that performance, but felt that this was the way to go to put the Raiders in the best opportunity to succeed. If you're talking to Gardner Minshew today, how are you advising him? What does he need to do to remain the starter all year long?
You know, Gardner, the one thing about football is it's a little bit like tennis. Tennis is a game where the opponent makes the mistake to lose. The victor rarely makes the play to win. And so what you have to do in assuming this job as the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders is not lose the game. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hand the ball off 70 plays, no. But you've got to take the profits. You've got to make good, accurate throws. You have to play within yourself. An incomplete or a check down is a good play. Punting with your punter is a really good play. Punting with your defense could be a really good play. So play within the framework of who you are. But if you try to be, you know, the pirate, if you try to be the gunner and you try to be the guy who's going to put the team on the back, that and you want the mania, you want Minshew mania to come to town, and that ain't going to work good for you. That'll have a little bit of success, but it also have a lot of failure. Remember this, you know, intensity impresses, consistency transforms. And I think if you can be consistent, not lose the games, you can transform your career. But if you want to be Minshew mania, you will impress at a moment, but you also falter.
Stepped in and was effective for the Colts under Shane Steichen last year. We'll see what he can do here. Season win total for the Las Vegas Raiders sitting 6.5, the longest shot in the AFC West. They're first, one of the longest shots in the AFC West. Their first game of the season against the Chargers on the road, getting three, total 42.5. And if you did bet Gardner Minshew to be the week one starter, minus 125, don't cash it just yet. We know how injuries can play out. Don't count the chickens before they hatch type of a deal here, but it does look good. Congrats to Gardner on the opportunity. We'll see if he can hold up. Now, you've said it already. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Another team dealing with a quarterback controversy and competition is the Pittsburgh Steelers. As Mike Tomlin steps into the office here, Michael, he's got a decision to make between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Said so far, this evaluation has been a, quote, incomplete study. Nobody's running away with this thing. Now, I'm not going to directly say tell Tomlin who to pick, but how would you advise Tomlin as he goes about making this decision for QB1?
So I think, as you know, Mike, more than I know, because you've done it far more successfully as a head coach than most people have, is this is the time of the year where every single organization asks themselves one simple question. How do we have to play to win? How do we have to play to win is the most important question that anybody can ask themselves currently today. And how that occurs is what's going to lead you to the quarterback. You know, if you want to play a conservative style, not turn the ball over, maybe Russell's your best bet. If you want to play loose free and feel like you got to score 27 to win the game and, you know, give some, take some, maybe you go with Fields. But knowing you, you're going to want the quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over. And you feel like, I'll get my offensive line to play better. There's no question I'll get that. I'll get Jones at right tackle to play at a higher level. You know, I'm going to end up getting, I'll get the rookie back, Fantuna, back in there. And, you know, we won't have to play more. Maybe we'll move more over to right tackle to help Broderick Jones out and get him some rest once we get the rookie in there. But we'll play better in the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to run the ball and play a certain style. And unfortunately, the decision really is, do you bring Tannehill in now, knowing that you don't have a quarterback and upset the whole thing and start over, or do you ride it out to the end of the year? And I just knowing you, where we get to at the end of the year, you're as perceptive as anyone that may not be where you want to be.
Bringing up Ryan Tannehill, Michael, that's something I haven't heard anywhere else. People really want to believe that either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson can lead the way for this team. We'll see if that's the truth or not. To your point about the offensive line, Tomlin did address that in his statements after the second preseason game as well, saying they can't be a problem for us. Two of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Another guy who's been having some problems, Michael, to the surprise of nobody on this show, but, you know, I'll be nice here. Daniel Jones, nightmarish first quarter in his first action since tearing his ACL last year. Threw two interceptions the first 13 minutes, including one that was a walk-in touchdown pick six the other way. He's falling. You can't throw that ball up the way he does. Ultimately, that's what happens. It was ugly. He obviously signed a big money contract. The Giants elected to believe and move forward with him instead of Saquon Barkley, who's now a Philadelphia Eagle. What does Jones need to do to prove he deserved this contract, live up to the expectations for him in New York?
Brad Stevens made a comment after the Celtics won the NBA title, Daniel, and he said that he built a team around players that had self-awareness, players that understood what their strengths and what their weaknesses were. And I think that's the conversation you have to have with yourself, because just because they paid you $40 million a year and you're the highest paid player, you can't carry that with you to games. That's what they decided. You deserve all the credit in the world for getting that out of them, for making them pay that, for believing that. But what you have to do now is be self-aware and find out what your strengths are. We know you're very good running the ball. We know you can be very accurate. We know you're very good on first and second down. Play to your strengths. Don't try to do something stupid like you did in the Houston game. You're too far. You're too smart. You're too experienced. Play within yourself. Don't lose the game. Don't worry about the noise on the outside of the building saying you're not very sexy, not very talented. You don't make enough plays. That's all true. Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. But if you put wins on the board, nobody will care. So worry about wins. Don't worry about your numbers. Find a way to play within the framework and make sure that the team understands how do we have to play to win is the most important. So I think that's really the number one thing you have to do. You're carrying so much pressure with you. You could see it the way in your eyes. You want to prove to everybody you're worth $40 million. You want to prove to everybody you can lead the team. You want to prove that John Mara's confidence in you is justified. That's too much to carry on your shoulders. Just worry about playing the game within that gives you the best chance to win.
That's great advice for him, not to worry about numbers. Myself, however, I am a numbers gal. And the number that always stands out to me are, in addition to the stat line that we saw this past year, the fact that he hasn't thrown more than two touchdowns in a game since 2019. That is glaring.
That's that.
18-1, by the way, him for comeback player of the year, if that's of interest to any of you. What Michael would call that is a St. Jude's play. Better off donating. No, I'm not saying that, not going to put the words in your mouth if you feel that way about Daniel Jones. That's how I feel.
That's a St. Jude's play all the way, Stormy. You know how I feel about that. I mean, like,
I just don't wanna speak
there's
for
certain
you.
Things that are not smart, right? There's just certain things. And look, there's nobody who wants to help children more than I do. And, you know, St. Jude's is always just calling my phone because they know I'm a sucker. Not a sucker, but I'll be willing to do it. But why make a stupid play? And I hate this logic. Well, the number was too good. Well, if it can't come true, the number's never good enough.
No.
Like, the number's never good enough if it can't possibly come true. Now, you could say it could, but, you know, that's one in a million, right? That's one in a million.
One of my favorite bets, and I do have it in our VSiN NFL betting guide, which, good to note, we're going to have a refresh after the preseason is over. Our VSiN analysts and experts are going to compile some of their new favorite futures bets, angles on props, different things, as well as updates on all of the injuries around all training camps for these 32 teams. VSiN.com/subscribe. You sign up $175 from now through the Super Bowl. You get the NFL betting guide, the college football betting guide, and everything that we have to offer at VSiN. Under 16.5 touchdowns. Again, one of my favorite futures bets on Daniel Jones. Last one here real quickly, Michael. J.J. McCarthy suffered a season-ending meniscus tear. He's going to be sitting down this entire season having to watch from behind. How would you advise him to handle this first season?
Well, football's a game of mental as much as it is physical. And you got a chance to spend all the time working on the mental. Take incredible notes. Pat McAfee had Bill Belichick on today. He said no one worked harder as a rookie than Tom Brady. And that's what you have to do. Work, outwork everybody, even though you're not going to play. Brady didn't play as a rookie, but he outworked everybody. Don't tell me the meniscus injury can't keep you from outworking. No, because it can't keep you from studying tape, understanding the offense, learning the calls. Work like tomorrow. Work with enthusiasm unknown to man.
You love it. Love it. Head coach Kevin O'Connell, by the way, did say how much he felt for McCarthy and called him their quarterback of the future. Very telling there, the reaction and how this team feels about the young man. We're going to talk lots of rookies coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, news in Washington. Dan Quinn has made it officially official. Number 2 overall pick in this year's draft, quarterback Jaden Daniels is officially the QB1 of the Washington Commanders. He said in his press conference availability today, Michael, we knew Jaden would get there. We've been really excited about finding out how he'd get there. Let's hear it straight from him, though. Better from Dan. Take a listen.
He went through the whole thing. He didn't miss a beat. Hit the targets that, you know, we had put in front of him. You know, we talked about the practices against the other teams, the games. So he's ready and he's earned the right to do that. He's really put in the work while being surrounded by some excellent teammates here. And in that case, I wanted to make sure I singled one of them out. In a perfect scenario, a young QB would, you know, have a leader to also learn from. But perfect rarely happens. But we do have that in Marcus Mariota. And him sharing 9 years of gold with Jaden, I think, has been something that's really cool for us to see. Rookie QBs usually don't get that, and we do. And when QB rooms are special, that energy can be felt throughout an entire team, and we have that.
So Quinn likes the support in his quarterback room. The big quote that stood out to me, though, Michael, he's ready and he's earned the right. He's put in the work.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, what Dan's saying is, we wanted to give him the job, but we didn't want to just give him the job. Mm-hmm. And he's earned the job. He's come in here and he's become the leader of the team. And what you want is your best player to basically hold up and be the guy that is responsible for, you know, working as hard as anybody can work. And I think that's really what he did. And so I think it's a testament to the kid. Everybody thought he was a good kid coming out. And he took the job and he took the approach to the job as a professional, not as an amateur. Like, he knew they were going to be the starter, but he knew that he needed to be able to prove to his teammates more than anything. Because you have to stand in front of the team. If you're Dan Quinn and if you're Jaden Daniels, you got to stand in front of the team and say, look, I earned this. Mm-hmm. And he did.
He is the second shortest shot on the odds board for Offensive Rookie of the Year, behind only number one overall pick Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears. Williams plus 135, Jaden Daniels plus 475. So bet 100, you win 475 if Daniels can come through for you. The season win total for the Commanders, 6.5. And the division odds here are what I'm kind of curious your thoughts on their standing in the division, because we've talked a lot about the NFC East is kind of the haves and have-nots the last couple of years. You got the Eagles and Cowboys, and then far, far off, a large separation to the Washington Commanders and New York Giants. When you look at what Dan Quinn is hoping to put together here, this young, potentially thriving rookie quarterback, how far off are they now in this division to you?
Well, I think they're far from Philly. They're far from, because we don't, the unknown is the quarterback. We don't know how well he's going to play. If he plays like CJ Stroud, are they good enough on defense? I doubt that, right? Mm. The offensive line.
Sounds like Michael's audio dropped out there a little bit. We'll try to reconnect with him from the back. But I agree. For this Washington Commanders team where we sit right now, we don't ultimately know yet what Jaden Daniels is going to be. In limited action in the preseason, have we liked what we've seen? Absolutely. But when you look at established teams like the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, there is still going to be a significant drop off. The NFC East division odds, where things sit right now, the Eagles an odds on favorite minus 120, Dallas plus 160. And even that has been a significant change, as the Eagles have done a lot this offseason to try to upgrade and bolster their roster, get back to the team that found themselves in a Super Bowl against the Chiefs 2 years ago. The Cowboys, meanwhile, standing pat and trying to figure out a lot of their issues when it comes to the contract negotiations. Now, they did do some things to tweak the offensive line. They're going to have a couple rookies up front there, which I do think is significant, but still contracts to get figured out with Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. We think if there is one to be done, it would be CeeDee Lamb, who's been holding out from training camp here. And Michael has said that repeatedly, including in, by the way, the column that he put out this past week, discussing the idea that Jerry Jones has been saying all offseason that they're going to be all in. Will he actually? I think that we've already learned, whatever way you want to say all in, that's not the case. Unless it is all in on this group of guys and who you have now, and whether or not they're going to be out the door after this season. Mike McCarthy sitting in a lame duck coach situation, his coaching staff. You look at Dak Prescott on the final year of his contract and what's going to happen ultimately at the end of this thing. Will he be a free agent with a no franchise tag clause in his contract and have the ability to go wherever he wants? Now, Dak Prescott did make comments last week saying that he feels like they've been making good progress on his contract, that it could get done sooner rather than later or in the regular season. And it's not something that he's particularly focused on right now. It's just all of us in the media and the betting world that are focused on it. But again, to go back to the Washington Commanders of it all, Jaden Daniels, for anyone who missed it, the official QB1 of the Washington Commanders, something we all expected to have happen. But now it is, coming off his Heisman season there at LSU, a 9-1 shot in the division. Michael, do we have you back? Rumor has it.
Yes, we do. We're back. I don't know what happened. Yes, we're back. But I was talking about, they signed, one thing about what Washington has done, it's an interesting approach to team building. They signed a bunch of mid-level free agents, okay? They didn't really overboard pay a lot of money to team. They didn't pay big money. They paid a lot of money to different players, but they're hoping. So what they did was they signed a lot of guys in this 5'8", 5'9", grade range. And they're hoping that three or four of them hit. Like, for example, Jeremy Chinn. They hope he can get back to where he once was. Frankie Louvu, really good player. Can he get back to where he was? They get those two guys to play at a higher level, they're going to become a better defense. And so, you know, with Payne and Allen inside, they got to get Dorrance Armstrong, for the kid they got from Washington, to play well. Look, they're going to play hard. Bobby Wagner, they're going to have good culture and good leadership. They're not going to give away games. They're not going to be stupid with the football. They're not going to try to throw 7,000 passes and get their quarterback killed. And they've got good leadership. So they're going to improve. They're not going to be, they weren't an easy out for Philadelphia in either game they played last year, because they could attack Philly's secondary with these receivers. So we'll see. I think they're a better team than the Giants, actually. Okay. I think they have more talent than the Giants do. They have a better, they have a better system in place. And I think they have more speed overall. You know, now they need Robinson and Eckler to come through at running back, but I do think they're a better team.
But Michael, and I believe in the unknowns of Jaden Daniels at quarterback a lot more than I believe in the knowns of Daniel Jones at quarterback. So that, for me, that for me puts them a rung above here for the Commanders. Again, Jaden Daniels, second shortest shot for offensive player of the year, as I mentioned, second shortest shot to be the rookie with the most passing yards at plus 190. Williams is an odds on number minus 125. Daniels is also the second shortest shot to have the most rushing yards among rookies at plus 450. Jonathan Brooks is minus 120. But how mobile do you think that he's going to be in this offense? Will they be utilizing his legs like they did in college?
Well, I mean, look, he was stormy. He was so good on the move. He was, what they have to do, it isn't about getting him to run. It's what Cliff Kingsbury has to do is to get him to look. This is more about looking than running. So when he gets out of that pocket, you know, his instincts are to take off and go. What I think he needs to do is what Jaden, what Milroe did at Alabama, which is start to move and keep your eyes down the field to make plays. That's where Bo Nix was so good in college. And if they can get him to do that along with his running, look, he's not going to last with his body type and frame running the football 12, 18 times a game. He's not Josh Allen. But his movement creates problems. It's tough to play man coverage on third down and not spy him because he's prone to run. And it's going to take a defensive coordinator a little bit of time to adjust to how he plays the game and how they have to rush him a certain way. Usually defensive coordinators, they'll take a little bit of time, especially if they're not familiar with the game. Kid's got great accuracy down the field. I think he sees the field. He throws the ball better on the outside, which really fits Washington receiver skill set. I mean, Zach Ertz is an older player. John Bates, is he going to be good enough? This Ben Sinnott kid they drafted from Kansas State's very good. So they have some tight ends in the middle of the field, but their talent is with Dotson and McLaurin on the outside.
Real quickly, because we did have that rookie stat leaders graphic up there, if we want to throw that back up, Michael, were there any names on here that stand out to you as potential sneaky value options here? Jonathan Brooks, again, the favorite, followed by Jaden Daniels, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Braylon Allen, Tyrone Tracy, Bo Nix, even up there at 20-1. Any of those stand out to you?
Blake Corum is, to me, one that stands out to me because Jonathan Brooks is hurt. Plus, Jonathan Brooks is playing behind Miles Sanders. He's playing behind Chuba Hubbard. He's not better than either one of those guys right now. He may be when his knee comes back. But to me, I think Blake Corum, they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot. And I think if they do that, he can be an effective player. I know they signed J.K. Dobbins, but Dobbins hasn't stayed healthy all the time. There's going to be a split. But I really think, I mean, can Troy Benson run the ball effectively? Look, I think James Conner is the best runner on that team. Why would you give the ball to somebody else? Will they split duty? Sure. James Conner deserves a Medal of Honor for running behind that bad line last year.
So good. Also, just even hearing the name J.K. Dobbins throws like a sword through my chest because of the amount of times that I've drafted this dude in fantasy and just put my running back position up in flames. We're going to hit the break. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line when we come back. Closing out the day strong. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're having a fun show here today on the Lombardi Line. Wherever you are watching or listening to us, we appreciate it. VSiN.com, YouTube TV. Remember, you can also tell Alexa, listen to VSiN on the iHeartRadio app.
And do you do that? Do you do that? Do you talk to Alexa?
Michael, it's so funny that you say that. So I'm not an Alexa person. I'm not a Siri person. I have a 10-year-old sister who judges me so hard that I don't have an Alexa. She was at my house the other day. She said, Alexa, play Season of the Sticks. and nothing happened. And she said, what do you mean you don't have an Alexa? Like, I was a schlub, Michael. I was a schlub.
I've just started to get into it. I got a new car, and it's the first car that I've ever had where it'll read me the text, and then I can answer the text back.
Ooh.
So I don't have to type and drive, which is kind of a nice thing. And so, like,
is
I'm kind of getting into it.
Is it accurate?
It's really accurate. Okay. I mean, you know me, I can't pronounce words half the time. So, you know, poor Alexa, she's confused just like most people who listen to our show and my podcast. What did he just say? Is, you know, I mean, Millie and Bill Berman, they just get the biggest kick out of me mispronouncing names. I mean, so, you know, that's just a whole other section. But I'm kind of getting into it. I got to say, I'm with your sister. I think there's a lot of validity to it. I was with Belichick last week, and he was using it. And this is not a computer man, so you know.
All right.
I think there's validity to it.
If Michael Lombardi and Bill Belichick are doing it, I got to step my game up here clearly to get on par with the crew. But I would love to see you in the car saying, Siri, please text Leatu Latu and see how that comes out on this. That'd be brilliant.
Or what is Chris like when I say a Ramondo Stevenson?
Yes.
Did he say,
that's the one. Ramondre, but Ramondo just got a nice ring to it. What can we say?
It's a better ring. Look, we'll just call him that, you know.
As fun as this has been, this show has been great diving into a lot of things and news and notes with the NFL preseason. We're 2 weeks in now, Michael, and we've got a few quarterback competitions that have been figured out here, where Gardner Minshew is officially named QB1 for the Raiders. Jaden Daniels, we saw the news in the last hour that he's going to be the starter, even though we all knew it was going to be for the Washington Commanders. Bo Nix, yet to be named. We're still waiting to figure out exactly what's going to happen in Pittsburgh, but some things are starting to fix themselves out here. Any other quarterback competitions of note, things that you feel like people should be dialing in on?
Well, I think, you know, what's New England going to do? Right now, New England's a 9.5-point dog to Cincinnati on opening day. And there's some nines out there, too. But, you know, I think to me, the way the team has looked in the preseason, that number's justified no matter who they play at quarterback. You know, I think it's going to be hard. You know, you want to lean towards taking the 9.5, but watching them play, they don't look like they're worthwhile to take that. The other game that I thought, based on the preseason, that looks interesting, watching Minnesota, especially now, Darnold didn't play in a game against Cleveland because they practiced against Cleveland. See, one of the reasons why, you give him Michael Penix a hard time because, well, when you practice against a team for a lot of time and you get a lot of reps in that practice like a starter does, then when you play the game against them, you typically don't play your starters. Indianapolis played against Arizona. They practiced all week. We didn't see Anthony Robinson. Okay. But he had all these reps in practice. So I think to me, when you're watching these games and you're seeing it, it's like where's Bryce Young? You know, watching New Orleans last night, they looked pretty good. Now that line's 4. You can get a 4 somewhere. You can get 4.5. You know, I don't know. You know, like, to me, New Orleans is going to be good on defense.
So that's another one. The Panthers not playing Bryce Young, I think, is interesting. And we've had this comparison. We talked about it earlier, how the Kansas City Chiefs are playing Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes isn't too good for preseason, what are we doing here? Do you think, I guess, how much do you think there is value in playing your starters in the preseason and gearing up for those first few weeks of the year?
I think there's tremendous value. Look, if Andy Reid does it, if Bill Belichick does it, if Tom Brady says, I want to play in preseason, then it's important. It's important. These guys are seasoned. You know, now a lot of this too is, and I'll double talk here. A lot of it is how much reps are you getting in practice? Like what Kyle Shanahan did last night, to me, tells me how important he thinks it is because he put Brock Purdy, his starting quarterback, out against the first team New Orleans defense with not a very good offensive line behind him. And he wasn't calling the plays to control him. Mm-hmm. So I think to me, you've got to be really careful about how you manipulate this. If your line speed up, you can't put the guy out there. You know, Geno Smith, we have not seen him this summer. We saw Sam Howell get a lot of reps, but we haven't seen Geno Smith. I think there's certain quarterbacks you got to play, you know, and there's offensive linemen have got to play. You're not going to get your line ready in week one. It's going to be too hot. It's going to be too humid. Even if you're Carolina, you got to play in the dome in New Orleans with the heat and humidity. I know the air conditioner's on, but it's going to be a hot one. You'll be dehydrated at halftime. I think we don't get that enough. And here's what I would say about preseason. When There are problems. When there are problems in the summer, there are problems in the fall. Like, you've got to correct them. You can't ignore them. You can't make excuses. Oh, well, we were just playing these guys. No, no. When there's problems, you got to solve them. And I think, to me, that's the job of the head coach. Like Las Vegas, they've got problems, right? They have problems with their quarterback. They have problems with their offensive line. And that's why, really, this whole conversation comes back to, how do we have to play to win? Mm-hmm. How do we have to play to win? Like, I'm tempted. You know, I know this is crazy, but I've been looking at the first week, and I see Tennessee's a 4.5-point dog on the road to Chicago. I'm not sure. I don't love Will Levison. I probably would take the game and move it over to the don't play side. But to me, I think Tennessee looks better fundamentally in terms of how they've been practicing than Chicago does this summer. I think Caleb Williams is very talented, but I think the offense that they want to run in Chicago is an offense that's built for a dome. It's not built for a heavy grass in Chicago.
You know, something that slipped my mind to ask you about Caleb Williams earlier in the show when we were discussing his performance a little bit was, like, we know Caleb Williams can do the unbelievable things, but I think what I'm still waiting and hoping to see a little bit more of is him just doing the basics, what you need to do to move the chains and get it done. Because there's an unbelievable play he had this weekend where I hate that my first thought was, but did he need to do that? And yeah. I just wonder your view on it from that standpoint.
Yeah, you're so good. I mean, you're right. I mean, look, how do you sometimes, you know, the highlights are very misleading. We think we see something. We expect this. That's not the case, right? So we need to be able to just do the simple things, right? I mean, it's like we wrote about this for the Daily Coach today. Tom Hanks, you come to work as an actor, you know, be on time, know your lines, and understand the role you play. Well, it's the same thing for a football player. You know, be on time, know your role, and understand the role you have to play. And I think, to me, that's where Caleb is. He's got all these weapons around him, and it's a little bit dangerous because they're all going to want the ball. They're all going to say, hey, I'm open, throw it to me. And there's going to be no run. I mean, they've got a nickel runner in Swift. They've got three receivers. They got Cole Kmet. They're very talented. They're not a physical team up front. So when the game, you know, with 53 minutes played in a game, the Bears probably will be in good shape. Can they hold the lead? Do they have enough power? Can they run the ball when somebody else knows we have to run it? That's where football's decided. You know, it's not a beauty contest. And I think, to me, that's where you have to really work hard. Andy Reid is working on that now. Yeah. He knows he's going to have a lead in the fourth quarter. He knows he's going to need to run the football in some way.
Bears a 4-point favorite again against the Titans in that week one game, total 43. Last 2 minutes here, Michael, you say that's a game that you might push into the stay away from pile. We discussed the Cowboys-Browns game as another one where you said there's so many question marks in this one. We've had a flip of favorites. Maybe that's a shove aside to the no play pile. Any other games you feel like from week one you just want nothing to do with?
Yeah, I mean, I think this Dallas-Cleveland game I want nothing to do with because I just don't know either team. I don't have a feel. I'm really nervous about the Chargers, how bad they've looked this summer.
Right.
Even though they're going against the Raiders, I'm nervous about that one. I really am. I'm nervous about them because I haven't seen enough. You know, I haven't seen where they are. I think Minnesota is a pick-em game against the Vikings. I mean, against the Giants. I still think initially I love Pittsburgh, but I'm nervous. That line went down to 2.5, and now it's back up to 3 today. So you got to keep track of these lines. It's really important because the preseason perception is moving them around.
Yeah. And truly, for as valuable as it is, like for those of us that do pick 'em contests, the Circa Million, things like that, as valuable as it is to pick what games that you do want to invest in, it can be just as valuable to eliminate some and say, hey, let's just get this out of the way.
It's like scouting. Scouting is not about finding. Scouting is about eliminating. And so when you're in and betting's the same thing. Betting's not about finding that great number. Betting's about eliminating the games you're not sure of.
Yeah. Fun Monday show, Michael. Glad to be
so fast, Stormy.
Back
great
together.
To have you
yes.
back.
It's and it's nice.
Siri, let's sign off.
I was going to say,
let's sign off.
Alexa, say Sharp
Alexa.
Money is next. Sound good? Okay. That's a wrap for us today on the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.